This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On tonight's Live Feed, we talk with the Winterlings, whose album The Animal Groom hit number 6 on the national folk charts. And Take Give, the first track on the album, was the third most played song on SiriusXM's The Village in March. In addition to playing music, both Wolf and Amanda are visual artists as well, working with painting and sculpture. Here's Wolf and Amanda of the Winterlings on tonight's Live Feed. Welcome to the Live Feed. I'm Bill Stomberg, and we're here tonight with the Winterlings, and they're touring in support of their new album, The Animal Groom. So you guys live in Florida, is that right?
We don't really live in Florida. We've been trying to. I was born in Florida, and I grew up there in a swamp there, and it was a great childhood. But ever since my childhood, Florida's been really overdeveloped and sort of lost a sense of respecting and revering nature. So I've been trying to get out of there. So we do go back to Florida in the winter. We both have family there. And we also both participate in some art events. We're both visual artists as well.
Right.
And you can see that on our website, winterlings.com. Mm-hmm. So when we go to Florida, we do some art stuff in the winter, and then we regroup and regear. And sometimes the sale of paintings will finance our next tour or the buying of a new instrument or whatever. And then we hit the road again, and we're gone every summer. This summer, we're on tour for 7 months. So we started in Miami. We've been up to Manhattan, to Vermont, and now we're headed west to Seattle at the end of the next week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Week for the Northwest Folklife Fest.
Do you guys book the tours yourself, or do you have a...
It's a combination. We have a booking agent who does some of the shows that are more high profile.
Okay.
Or if we're opening for someone who's a bigger name,
right,
he sets all that up, and then we do the rest. So it's sort of a hybrid thing.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Do you have any funny stories from the road, or has anything interesting happened so far?
Every day there's something interesting, Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been sleeping in parking lots, and we woke up one day and found that our lug nut and lug nut cap was gone.
Oh, no.
And so I went to try to find another one. I still haven't been able to because they're big. You know, we're in a used RV. And that's been a real adventure and fiasco in some ways. So so it turns out that there are people who come in the night and steal your lug nuts, if you're parked somewhere. And I had no idea about this. And we also drove through Georgia, through Atlanta. And we went up in these mountains, and there was steep road. It was unbelievable. Amanda didn't think we were going to make it out alive, being in this big vehicle and going down these crooked little mountain roads. It was really, really scary and precipitous, and the bottom was scraping, and we were sliding. I mean, it was nuts. But we finally got into this little mountain house that belongs to some friends of ours and spent some nights there. We didn't realize that we had taken on about 1,000 carpenter ants that crawled into the roof, into the rooftop carrier. So when we got up in Vermont, we opened up the rooftop carrier to get out our speaker stands to set up for a show. And there they were, these massive ants. I mean, they're like the size of a house key. I mean, they're unbelievably big. I'd never seen ants this size. And they're still with us. I went up on the roof yesterday. We were gassing up just to check things out, and there was one there.
Wow.
So
amazing.
We're hoping they haven't infested the coach. But every day is an adventure on the road. It really is. It's so hard to predict what's going to happen. Our refrigerator blew out, so it's not working anymore. We were on our way to a sold-out show at a well-known venue called Apple Farm in New Jersey. And it was like 30 minutes or an hour before we were supposed to get there and set up. And the steering wheel stopped working, jerked to the left, and the smoke started coming up. And we pulled off the highway. It was a frozen brake caliper.
Oh, wow.
So we ended up getting some mechanics to pull it off and put it all back on. They didn't fix anything. And they told us, don't drive on it. Go to the next shop and get it fixed. They'll be open till 6-7. But we knew if we went there, we'd never make the show.
Right.
So we just drove on it. And and thank goodness we made it. So we made the show. And, I mean, it was just... There was so much tension because it's a sold out show, you know, you get all these people waiting for you and they're excited and they're, you know, it's a big deal. So we were just like, oh my goodness. And that was only half of the day. So.
An adventure every day, huh?
Yeah, and we've got some videos. Making videos is always an adventure. Mm-hmm. We're working on one now with these 12-foot puppets of grandmothers that we borrowed from an artist in Reading, Pennsylvania. And so that one's in the works. But we've done a lot of interesting stuff, so check out our videos
Cool. That sounds great.
So when we wrote our new album, The Animal Groom, we went out west to Corvallis, Oregon, and we rented a little apartment in a woodsy area. And we'd get up in the morning first thing and write songs. So we'd go into separate rooms, and my room was the kitchen. So I'd go in the kitchen, and I'd sit at this little stool and look out the window, and I saw this beautiful oak tree out there. And I saw another oak tree, and I started thinking about them and looking at them and really kind of connecting with them. And that's where this song came from. And it would make my my grade school science teacher really proud, because I used the word photosynthesis in the lyrics. This one's called Long May You Live.
Okay.
To the oaks outside my window, long may you live. To dreamers with their tubes of paint and brushstroke canvases, to rooms where people make love and the breath with which they sing, long may you live. To the smiling Dalai Lama, long may you live. They slaughtered all your people, and yet somehow you forgive. To leaves on apple trees performing photosynthesis, long may you live. To the music in Homero, long may you live. To the moon that hides in ocean tides and brings the sailors in. To sleep that keeps us wrapped tight in the night's black velvet skin, long may you live. Suicidal poets who use ink as medicine, to the acrobats who try to fly time and time again, long may you live. To the artists of America, long may horseshoes for his kid, to the little nun from Vietnam who plays a violin, long may you live. To chemists in their lonely labs, long may you live. To surgeons in their bloody shirts, they fix. To this impressive planet, may she spin and spin and spin, long may you live, long may you live. Ooh.
How long have you guys been playing together?
I'd say about 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a kind of an interesting story on the on your website about the way you guys met.
Yeah,
you want to tell us about
that
a little bit?
True story. And yeah, there was this mutual friend we had named Faith, and she was known for being a dynamic artist and a jewelry maker, and had these fascinating parties. And I hadn't heard from her for 3 or 4 years. And I got an email saying, I'm having a party, so come. So I came to see what it was going to be like, because she'd have clowns and chefs and all kinds of interesting stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I showed up, and they had this Buddhist priestess, I guess, or monk, or nun, Buddhist nun. And she was running this fire puja, fire circle, where you write on little pieces of paper things that you want the universe, the divine to see and bring to you in your mm-hmm. life to manifest. So I'd always had this dream of finding not only my love and life partner, but somebody who could help me bring my written word and my visual art into a musical space. And
cool.
And so I wrote something to that effect on a piece of paper, threw it in the fire, burned up, and then I just sat and waited maybe for an hour. And then Amanda came, and I had made some really some amazing tuna fish dip with fresh herbs that I had grown. And she was frightened. She didn't want to eat this dip. But I said, no, no, try the dip. And so she tried the dip, and then that was love at first, first taste of my cooking skills.
Cool.
So I've
cool.
been cooking ever yeah. since. No more, I don't eat tuna anymore, but but now I make other things. Oatmeal, I'm good at that.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And do you still like his cooking then? Or?
There are certain things he's really good at.
Yeah. Cool.
I love to cook.
Breakfast.
I love to
breakfast
cook,
is
so
great.
Smoothies. Kinda, I'm good at smoothies.
Yeah.
Smoothies are good. That's all good stuff. Did you expect such immediate results when you burnt the wish in the fire? Did you
no,
expect
I didn't. But
right away then?
I was hopeful. I'm an optimist. It helps to be an optimist in this music world because
yeah.
you never know what's going to happen. You never know when you're going to get somewhere. You never know when you're going to be driving, as 3 or 4 days ago, 8 hours in the mountains in the rain.
Wow.
You know, in a 5-ton motorhome and or not five, is it five? No.
It's
yeah,
about that.
About that. Yeah. So you never know what's going to happen out there, and you just kind of got to be ready for adventure. And so my optimistic mind was saying, wow, this is a powerful ritual here, and I like it. And there's no, it wasn't religious at all. It was just kind of like this really peaceful thing, and mm-hmm. people were being very sincere about what they wanted to attract in their lives.
Right.
And I think wanting to bring music to words and to images is something that's it's good for everybody. I mean, I'm not speaking from an egoic perspective at all. In fact, we, after spending so much time with the songs, it's hard to really listen to the album. You've heard the songs thousands
right.
of times. But I think that was it was meant to happen, meant to be, and from there we went to India.
Oh wow!
And in India is where I got the inspiration for the song "Take Give."
Okay.
Because I was living in the south of India with this little family in a village called Balagir near Bangalore, and their son had just found out that his parents had arranged for him a bride. He was about 28 years old, and he'd never been close to a woman who wasn't in his family.
Okay.
So he came to me in some distress and kind of quietly whispered, "Hey, Wolf, you're from America. You know about these things. I want my marriage to be a success. What do I mm-hmm. do?" You know? And I said, "Well, I don't really know." You know? He said, "Well, you're in America. You're experienced. You know, you guys date from when you're a child, you know?" And I said, "No, you know, I don't know the secret." So we went out and found this holy man on the side of the road who just sits and prays and has dreadlocks and sits naked. And so Anantha and I asked him, and said, "What's the secret to life and love? I'm going to be married." And the guy sort of got a grin on his face and chuckled. And he said, how do I know? I'm celibate. You know, I sit here on the side of the road. I don't touch women." So, but then he stopped, you know, he thought about it, and he came back with an answer, and he told Anantha, and then Anantha told me, he says, "Well, the guy says the secret to everything is if you take, then I will give." And so then I thought, that's a really fascinating concept, and it's kind of the opposite of a lot of things that have been happening with our government and with our culture. It's just like this give and this take, and then it just really resonated with me. So I wrote the song starting with the line to Amanda, which was if I walk across the sea, will you walk along with me? Because I wanted her to come over to India and meet mm-hmm. me there. And sure enough, she did. And
cool.
That was about our eighth date.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So on your eighth date, you go to India.
Right.
Yeah. I had been planning going there for a while, but she hadn't. And so it was quite an amazing thing that she came, and I'm real happy she did. We had a lot of fun there and had some really interesting adventures. So mm-hmm.
Cool.
It was good.
There's an interesting story on the website about the name too, the band name, the Winterlings.
Yeah, the Winterlings has multiple meanings, but the meaning of, we're nocturnal, so we stay up pretty much all night till sunrise yesterday, and go to sleep about 4 or 5 in the morning, sometimes 6.
Wow.
And it's good for driving, but so we spend a lot of our time in the winter of the day, and that's the late night hours, the early morning hours.
Right.
And that's the best time to write, because you're in a dream space, mm-hmm. and it's just a good time for creative energy, because there's not a whole lot of else going on around you. And if you're living in busy areas where there's a lot happening, then there can be a lot of distractions. So that's one meaning. Then when I was a little boy, I had this recurring dream. I lived in a swamp in a treehouse on 15-foot stilts. And in the summer, it would flood up into the house. And in the winter, the water would go away. Mm-hmm. And it was dry season. And so we would go out and build little fires and roast things and, you know, fire sticks and battles and all kinds of fun stuff as little boys will do. I have a brother.
Right.
And we had our little neighborhood gang of guys, and we'd all go out there and burn the fire. And so I was really used to lighting fires from a young age. I mean, mm-hmm. probably by the time I could talk, I was lighting fires in a good way.
That's good.
Yeah, in a good way. And so I had this dream that I would go down in the swamp and I'd light a fire, and all these creatures would come in from the ferns and the cypresses. They would creep in, and they would sort of like come in as animals and then take human form, but they would still be part animal. And I think part of that is sort of like the Egyptian mythology was mm-hmm. inside my mind.
Cool.
So anyway, those creatures came, and then I told my mom about the dreams, and she said, well, what do you call those creatures that come from the swamp? And you sing for them, as I would sing in the dream to these creatures. And I said, Winterlings. So when it came time for us to name our band, our duo, it seemed like a fitting name, because the Winterlings to me represent a voice inside, a very natural and primordial voice of things that you want to do, that you feel creatively drawn to, but you might not do because they don't seem to make sense either financially or logistically or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so following, listening, singing for the Winterlings means that in your own life, you're sitting down with a pen and pad, you're writing, or you're making a set list. If you're a DJ, if you're doing something that means something to you, that's creative and makes you feel alive. So the Winterlings are those voices inside that are pushing you, or not even pushing you, but just sort of whispering to you and saying, hey, try this, go do that. Whatever dream you have, give it a shot, because you're here on Earth, you got a body, and try it. So
cool. It also said on the website that when you guys met, then that you didn't even play an instrument. Is that true?
No, I didn't. Amanda was my inspiration for that. I didn't play an instrument. I had some old guitars from various things happening in my life. The house in the swamp burned down when I was in college, and I had an old guitar in there. So the insurance people went through and found the guitar strings and said, okay, so you can get another guitar. So I got another guitar, and it sat for a while. When I met Amanda, I realized that she spoke this language of music, and she sang so wonderfully, and she was writing these songs, and she had her solo music career going. And uh, I I said, I would really like to join her in that space. And so mm-hmm. that's why I started to work at it. And now I know about 5 or 6 chords and I'm still working at it. So it's great.
Yeah, he's worked very hard at it. So
I couldn't,
you
I really
come along then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She would give me guidance. And sometimes I was doing something wrong. Like I had the G chord held in a certain way that was not easy to switch to the C chord. And she'd come and say, no, you got to use your pinky for that one. And uh-huh. I'd say, okay, now I got to relearn all this. And
right.
I'm always learning from that. And the songs actually have taught me too. Like I'll usually write a song and I can't even play it. Okay. Like there's something about it that's beyond my skill. And so the song helps me to learn.
Grow through that.
Yeah,
and I
grow and then after a while, a couple of years go by, I can play it.
Cool. Do you guys work with anyone else? I noticed on the album, some of them have more of a full band sound with drums and stuff. Do you have a band that you work with or just different people? Or?
We just brought in about 5 or 6 musicians for the album, but we really never play live with any of them. So,
okay.
They're all based in the Philadelphia area where we made the album.
Okay.
So we would love to tour with other people. But just it's not really possible at this time.
The level of musicians that we have on the album, you can hear on there, they're just like the top of the top players.
Mm-hmm.
And like our bass player played with Joni Mitchell, our drummer played with the band, like Bob Dylan's band, you know. So these are guys who they make more on one gig than we, if we're lucky, make in 6 months probably. Mm. Touring on a shoestring and, you know, gas and everything else.
People stealing your lug nuts.
Yeah, new lug nuts and new brake calipers and all that business.
Giant,
you know,
ants.
It's, man. So we're going to deal with the ants when we get to Seattle.
Well, maybe it's supposed to rain this weekend, so maybe the rain will wash them off.
I hope so, but the story is that carpenter ants like wet environments.
Oh, no.
They don't actually eat your wood, but if there's a wet environment and there's some kind of mold in there, then they team up with the mold and build these dens and stuff. So who knows? I hopefully they're not going to do that.
It sounds terrible. It sounds old movies where they have the giant insects that they just zoom in on, you know?
It is.
It sounds
kind
of scary that way.
But it's good fodder for song. Who knows? Maybe it'll turn up in the next album. It'll be
right.
The big picture of a big ant on the cover. This song is called Take Give.
Thank you. your blushing face in this bedroom where we live. If you take, then I will give. If you take, then I will give. There are countries in your soul where no one's ever wrong. If I sing for you tonight, would you let me inside?
Do right. Do you, like you said, you go to your separate places, you know? Then how does that work? Do you kind of show each other an idea then, or do you just kind of complete a song idea and then work on it? Or?
We pretty much each complete songs on our own. Like anything that I sing lead on is a song that I wrote. Anything he sings lead on, he wrote.
Okay.
And we do, we each kind of complete them ourselves and then play them for each other. And then sometimes we'll have feedback for each other and change something a little bit. And then certainly we work together with the instrumentation, you know, deciding like, okay, what other instrument would be cool on here and who's going to play that. And so.
Sure. Okay, great. And then you guys both do more than music. I saw on the website that you paint and write, right?
I'm assuming
you both paint
and
write.
Paint. Or
I noticed you had paintings and sculpture maybe also?
Yeah, I have sculptures embedded in paintings.
Okay, okay. So, yeah. I wasn't sure what to call them. It looked like a painting, but it also looked like they were made out of something that it looked 3D.
Yeah, they are.
I'm not an artist, so I don't know how to describe it. But
it's just like mixed media with sculptures embedded in the paintings.
Okay. She casts these big, beautiful orchids and resins and then attaches them to the canvas and paints them with mineral pigments and high gloss acrylic polymers. So it's a really neat process. We both paint with that process, and you can see it on winterlings.com. If you click the art link, you can go there and check them out. And we often will pull out some small ones at a show. And so if you check our show schedule, and I'm not sure when we'll be back in this neck of the woods, but if you happen to be somewhere where we're playing, come on over and you'll probably be able to see some in person.
Cool. You do the album artwork as well?
Or? Yes, that's one of my paintings on the cover.
Okay.
And that's the Winterlings painting.
Cool.
And so that you can see that on our website as well. It's very surreal, and I feel like it's one of my more Marc Chagall-esque paintings. I really admire Marc Chagall. He's been an influence of mine throughout my art career and also music career. He was just an amazing soul. He's got a great biography and just had a wonderful spirit when things went wrong, and he would just keep painting.
Cool. So. Yeah, it sounds like both of your artwork and the music kind of complement each other really nicely. Does that?
Thank you. Like, Mel. Thank you.
Like when you're painting, does that ever inform your music writing or vice versa? Does your music ever inspire you to paint something particular? Or?
For me, it does, because I want to write songs in a visual way, in a vivid way, so that at least some part of the song can conjure up an image in the listener's mind that they can engage their own creativity to see what's happening in the song and then bring their own story to it. So in that way, I think the visual art really does move into the song. Just in that we both write from a sense of we're painting something in the mind of a listener.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And hopefully it's we're painting half and they're painting half or some other right. ratio, but in some way then it becomes their song too, and then they can bring their own life to it. Right. And that's why our songs are a little bit nebulous. They're not, some people in the folk tradition tell a story. It's almost like ABCD, this is what happened. And it's right. very, it's like a very journalistic style and very dry. And we don't do that. We're more of the indie folk or the alternative folk. And we like that genre where we leave some of it open. And even when we do have a specific song like Jenny Hodger's about the female Civil War soldier, nobody really knows what was happening inside of her mind and her mm-hmm. soul. So we kind of nudge the listener to contemplate that, right. maybe feel that.
This song is based on a true story of a woman named Jenny Hodgers who dressed as a man to fight in the Civil War for the Union. And she went by the name Albert Cashier and continued to live as a man for the rest of her life. She lived, I think, into her 60s or something. So from what they know of her, she seemed to want to live a life of adventure and independence that women often didn't have back in those days. So
cool, cool. How did you find out about her?
Well, we were at a yard sale and found a book about the Civil War, and we were flipping through it, and it mentioned her. And just kind of stuck in my head as an inspiring character because she really seemed to create her life on her own terms, and I think that took a lot of courage.
Cool. So.
She came right over on a boat from Ireland, which was interesting too, and just enlisted basically.
Oh, wow.
And I had a great-great-great-great-grandfather who did the same thing from Scotland, so I was interested in it. Right. I picked up the book and started reading it, and then one night I was reading it, and I said, Amanda, listen to this. There were female soldiers fighting in this war. And she's like, let me see that. I'm going to write a song about that. And she did, sure enough.
Cool.
Yeah, other women would fight in the war, but they usually were there just to follow their sweetheart. And they would usually get found out and sent home. But this is the only one they know of who actually made it all the way through and continued to live that way. So cool. She got an army pension, and she was voting 50 years before.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, let's hear it.
All right. Okay. It's Jenny Hodgers. I left my parents across the ocean just shy of 20. I was free. I cut my mother. I'm no one's father. Leave my estate in the county's hands and bury me in dark blue trousers like any other
Union man.
You guys have any particular song that you really enjoy playing live, like a favorite song to play live or anything like that?
Well,
Take Give is really fun because we both singing on it.
Yeah,
and both Take playing Give. At the same time. I mean,
Take Give is such a happy song, so I just feel really good when I play it.
All the Good Things is fun because we both sing on it.
My grandfather passed away several years ago, and he used to sing around the house a lot. And I think he, as a young man, had longed to be a musician. He was a jazz drummer. Cool. And then he gave that up to take over the family business. But I remember him singing around the house. And so I had this little tape recorder because I was starting to write songs. And whenever I'd get ideas, I'd record them. So one time, I didn't think he would let me record him. So I kind of hid around the corner and taped him.
Cool.
And so so it's a nice little memory of him now that he's gone to have those recordings.
Right.
So this song refers to that.
Cool.
In the last verse. So
cool.
It's called All of the Good Things. Choose to say
what's next on the horizon? You guys have your touring in support of your new album. Is there anything else in the works after this tour?
We're going to go up in the woods in the Pacific Northwest and see what happens. We've got a place to park the RV out in Port Angeles, which is a couple of hours outside of Seattle.
Okay.
And the woods are deep and the mountains are snow-capped, and we're hoping to kind of retreat up there and do some more riding and do some gardening and get back to the land, because out on tour you're in touch with the asphalt a lot and the
right.
cities and
yep.
and so we want to get back to that and just reignite our creative fires and write. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we're not sure when the next album will come or how right. that will all unfold.
Okay.
It's a real mysterious thing. I mean, it all happens in time, and this album that you're listening to, The Animal Groom, this one started out working on our own, and then we met a producer in Philadelphia and we really loved his vision, and so he took some of the songs to some fascinating places that we never expected, but we really felt like they fit perfectly with
cool.
the song and what we wanted to do. So we'll probably work with him again. His name is Rodney Wittenberg, and he's over in Philadelphia in Plymouth Meeting. So Melody Vision is the name of his studio.
Okay.
And
is that where you recorded this one?
It is. It is. We recorded most of the album at Melody Vision. Some of it we did remotely on our own, but most of it was done there.
Is the album available on your website? Or Is it available on iTunes as well?
It's on iTunes, okay. Yeah. The Animal Groom, we're the Winterlings, and The Animal Groom is our new album, and it's available on our website, winterlings.com. And it's best to get it there if you can, because we have something called DigStation where you can link directly to us, and it supports the music a lot more on our end. iTunes is great too, but DigStation gives us more of the proceeds from the album.
Okay.
We're on Amazon, we're on iTunes, we're all over the place. And our new album, we were proud to find out, hit number 6 on the national folk charts.
Oh, cool.
And then last month, we also found out that the song Take Give, the first track on The Animal Groom, was the 3rd most played song on Sirius XM, The Village. For March, so you might
wow.
hear us on there too.
Excellent.
Who knows what they'll spin next? They'll probably spin all the good things. It's just hard to know what they're going to do. We hear about it afterward,
and right?
It's exciting. We just never know what the next day's going to bring. Somebody will call us and let us know, or send us an email, and guess what? You know.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. Well, we've been enjoying an evening here with the Winterlings, and their new album is entitled The Animal Groom. And I've been sitting here with Wolf and Amanda from the Winterlings, and their album is available at winterlings.com. And thank you guys very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us,
Bill.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks again to Wolf and Amanda of the Winterlings for joining us tonight on the live feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.